We have another reading, this time from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're using a church Bible and you're not sure where it is on page 1154. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Let's just pray for a second. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us and help us, Lord, to understand your word. And Lord, help me, Lord, to preach with some clarity. Father, we do pray that these words might come into our minds, but also our hearts, that, Lord, we might be closer to you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And the text is always trusts. We'll get to that eventually, okay? So what do you think of 1 Corinthians 13? Oh, it's a good passage for a wedding. Lots of things about love. Some great idealistic principles there to live by. You know, this passage sometimes is misunderstood, but particularly the word in it, love. So love always trusts. When we're talking about love here, most of you would know this. I'll repeat it because just to make a point. But there's four Greek words for love, isn't there? Brotherly love, parental love for children, sexual attraction and love, and the agape love, God's unconditional love. And this is the love that's talked about here. Love always trusts. So what we're talking about here is agape, God's love. God's unconditional love, not any other type of love. Love always trusts. It's that love that was given to the Corinthian church by the grace of God. And so it's not an impulse or a feeling. It's God's love. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. God's love. We see it in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:16 says, and so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. So to understand and practice this text of trust, we have to know God in our hearts. You know, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's still us. You know, when some people join various cults, their personality changes. But when Christ comes into our lives, our personality and is still there, but God's love is there as well. So, just a bit of background. How were some of these Corinthians living? Why did Paul talk about love that always trusts? They had this idea of gifts that they'd been given by God. Tongues and prophecy, knowledge and faith and giving. And they were distracting them. They were thinking about these gifts and more than love. Bill Gates, for just out of interest, who is the co-founder of Microsoft, in his lifetime so far has given £27 billion away. He's got some left, by the way, just in case you're worried about him. That's generous and kind, but he will not get on very well if he doesn't know the Lord Jesus, if he doesn't know love of God in his heart. It will not get him, with all that money, one step into heaven. In verse 3 it says, if I give all the possessions to the poor and give my body to be to hardship, that I may boast. But do not have love, I gain nothing. So the Corinthian church were considering their gifts, and the status the gifts gave them was more important than God's love in their hearts, agape. Another danger of the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 13, was love is always going to be around, but the Corinthians were thinking about prophecy and tongues and knowledge and prized them more than love. Love remains. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now these things remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these things is love. The passage doesn't belittle gifts. They're great. They're helpful to the church, or to give the church enable to preach good news and to live a good life. And yet, they forgot about eternity. Many of these gifts will be no use when they get to heaven. And therefore, the important thing is, more important than anything else, is to know God's love in your heart. How will that meeting go on with Jesus? You know, and so, just to sum up so far, whatever gifts God gives us in the church, love is the most important. Gifts are helpful in this lifetime, but love lasts forever. And they were acting somewhat like children. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:20, brothers, do not be like children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. So we get to the nub of our getting nearer our text. So in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, it says this: love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This chapter looks at the actions of love and the characteristics of love, because love isn't just a fuzzy feeling. And so it challenges us that how does our love show itself? So let's look at a practical application. How does it help the church? What does the church look like? Does the church trust? Does it value me? Does it value you? God trusts Christians, I think. So why don't we trust each other? It's important to trust each other. We should do the same. The reason for the reading about Paul and Ananias was simply that when Ananias went to see Paul, he was a bit reluctant, but God persuaded him that he was going to be used by God, and so when Ananias came to him, he entered the house and laid his hand on him and said, "Brother Saul." I think if ever there was, an idea that love always trusts, for someone to do that, for Ananias to be able to put his hand upon someone who'd been involved with killing Christians and been his enemy, why did he do that? Why was he able to put his hand out and call him brother? Well, it was certainly the fact that Ananias was told that God trusted Saul and he'd given him a mission. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine." And so if God trusted Saul, Paul, then Ananias trusted him as well. However, love isn't blind. Jesus didn't trust everyone. In John 2, 23 and 24, now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in them. You know, Christians, we shouldn't have rose-tinted spectacles. We can't trust everyone. Trust is a problem in the world and in the church. I once had a deputy. We supported some people with learning disabilities, and she was a great lady and a real support to me. However, she used to pop into this home on a day off. You know, she didn't trust anyone. So one of the first supervisions we had was, should we get CCTV or should we trust people? It's a hard battle. And yet, it's looking at the elders that are being appointed in Welshpool. In Acts 14, 23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they put their trust. They trusted elders to carry on. You know, Paul and Barnabas was entrusted with a mission, and Paul didn't say, "I'm important, I'm an apostle, I can't trust people." one of the things they appointed elders, they trusted others. But you see, the thing about these elders, the Lord in whom they put their trust, these people trusted the Lord. Therefore, Paul and Barnabas trusted them. You know, trusting other people is sometimes a problem. But, you know, with God's love driving us in our hearts, if we have that agape love in our hearts, love should lead to loving trust. When I was a child, Margaret probably laughed at this to some degree, I remember hearing in my ears, if you want a job doing well, do it yourself. However, one of the things we, when we become Christians, we have to unlearn things. You know, love always trusts. What a wonderful change in my heart has been brought since Jesus came into my heart, into my life. So, in 1 John 4, it says this, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete." Back to the text. Love always trusts. So I've got a three-legged stool in my one of my barns. The only problem is one of the legs is broken. I tried to fix it once and it's not been no good. So if I said to you, it's got two legs, I would say, sit on it. Would you trust it? Well, I hope not. And yet, you know, people do challenge the way Christians trust. I worked in Southeast London, ran a little mission there for the London City Mission, and I got a brand new car. It was for really old people here. It was a Hillman Hunter. It was gold. It had nice wheels on. And one of the things I did, I put some wheel locking nuts on so it couldn't be stolen, the wheels. And one of my neighbours came out who'd been in jail for, you know, not stealing cars, I think, you know, anyway, dealing with stolen cars anyway. And he said, well, I thought Christians trusted people. Why have you got those wheel locking nuts on? Just out of interest, I kept them on and the wheels stayed exactly where they were. It doesn't mean that Christians always trust everything and anyone. I've certainly had some dealings with Kaleidoscope in town, working with people with drug addictions. Many of those are absolutely focused on that fix they need. Should we always trust people in that state? I don't know whether it's good for them or us that we always trust. However, we want to trust. You know, they should know, people should know that we want to trust them. Love always trusts. Love transforms lives. It gives hope to the hopeless. Love that always trusts gives people second chances. And yet, we're not fools. God's not a fool, and I don't think we are. The first church I went to, we had a visiting minister, from Australia. He had a dog collar, but we did catch him with dodgy checks. He was no minister. He was just a con artist. So we don't trust everyone. We need to be wise as God is wise, because God has, you know, put that unconditional love in our hearts. You know, because God has entrusted us with, God trusts us with so many things. God has given us eternal life. I don't know about you, but you often have people come to stay, and some, after half an hour, you're looking at your clock, you know. But some people could stay for a long time, maybe a week or so. But God is inviting us into heaven forever. Now, I think what a wonderful trust God must have for us. Although, if you want a Spurgeon quote, he did say, wouldn't let thieves in heaven because they'd pick the angels' pockets, right? But he trusts us in heaven. He trusts us with the good news of Jesus Christ. That story of Jesus. He trusts us to be witnesses. He trusts us with the Bible, with stories about himself and to help to understand us and the world. People have given their lives for this book, and he trusts us with it. He trusts us in a relationship as a father and a child. He trusts us with brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, some people in churches and in life have difficulty with trust. Their families have been poor. Maybe their marriages have been difficult. Friendships have been hard. Maybe at work there's been bullying. And sometimes we find it difficult when we've made mistakes to trust ourselves again. The church sometimes is not as loving as it should be. The Corinthian church were being challenged that they weren't as loving and trusting as they should be. And yet there's no place where people can learn to be, trust again and to be healed like a loving, trusting church. I don't know about you, I've not quite given up listening to the news at the moment about the government and everything. And yet one thing we can say in this building tonight, there is a stability in heaven, that Jesus Christ rules in heaven, and that John 3:16 tells us, God loved the world. You know, whatever is shaking around, we do know that there is a stability in heaven. And that same love is in us through the Holy Spirit. So, let me just summarise a few things very quickly. Our personal resources are limited, and we should rely on agape love. Agape love should drive a church. Gifts are important, but they need to be used in love. This love will reach out sometimes and be rejected, just like Jesus. We're not naive. But sometimes we will not trust people, and it'd be no good for them or us. So, how do you rate on the loving trust scale out of 1 to 10? Amazon keeps sending me these things. We are 1 to 10, you know, what do you want? However, love always trusts. Do we always get it right? No. Do I always get it right? No, sadly not. But there is no other way, if we want to follow Jesus, but to have a love that always trusts. Owen reminded us when he spoke about adoption that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's one of the reasons why we should trust. And Ananias, remember, called Saul Paul, who wrote this, brother. How much did that help him? Not using loving trust is like having a bank account and with £1 million in and not use it. Just really to tie up. If there's someone here who doesn't know the Lord, doesn't know the Lord Jesus, doesn't understand this loving trust. Do you know, to love in that way is difficult with God's help. But without God, it's impossible. A person needs to have that agape love in their hearts. I came across agape love when I was 19. I wasn't born with it, and it was a surprise to me. a wonderful, wonderful surprise. So, how do you come to know the Lord? Trust. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. In Psalm 56, 3 it says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. So, these elders that Paul and Barnabas appointed, it said this, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So, we need to see that the Lord Jesus on the cross died and rose again from the dead. And he did that to break down that barrier of sin between you and himself. And he loves you. And that's why Christ died on the cross, to deal with that sin, that he might call you his child and you his father. So, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and so much more. Amen.